The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob every Thursday until draft day with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider.
It's the finale, ladies and gentlemen. The John Schneider Show has been happening each and every Thursday here live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center with Wyman and Bob. We've got John here with us, and we've got us. He brought us a friend today. He brought a guy I think most people are aware of right now. Head coach Mike McDonald is here with us. Can we get?
There we go.
We're all good. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, cool to be here.
Good to see you.
Yeah,
I know you're so sad.
What were you pointing to there? You were pointing to this vicinity, right? This region right
here. The t-shirt
here.
Fits nicely, except right around the belly portion. It's a little too tight. I think I got it out of Jack's drawer this morning.
A little snug,
yeah,
is it?
A little snug.
You didn't realize it until you sat down
Until I sat down in the chair. Yeah.
Look up, and he's giving you this region right here.
It gets wedged right in the middle.
That's where the donuts get stuck, right?
You guys are so sad.
The what?
It's our last show. It's
very sad. Yeah. We love talking to you. Yeah. You love talking to us.
I do.
Yeah.
Especially off air.
Yeah. that's where the good
off
stuff
air is. The good stuff. Yeah.
Should we get
but
to
thanks
the draft?
For coming, Mike.
Dave's getting anxious here.
Come on. We only have so much time here. Come on now.
Should we say football things?
Yeah. Tell us about how you guys collaborated during the draft. You know, what was the input and things like that? How different was the process for you, Mike, as far as being with a GM and all that stuff? What was it like with you two?
You want to go first?
We didn't collaborate.
Okay.
We did exactly what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was awesome. I mean, no, it was great. But just the fact that I told you guys that they were putting their processes in and as much time as they spent, the coaches spent, it was outstanding. And the job they did on the Zooms was great. So, and then it helped the scouts and all the personnel people learn new coaches as well.
Yeah.
And then Mike was in our meetings enough early on, especially the first round of meetings we had, to get some great perspective on what he was looking for at specific positions.
How different was it for you, Coach, just being – you're the guy now. You're the head coach. I mean, you've been in there before as a coordinator, and I'm sure there was a process of getting your opinion and evaluation on different players, but you were looking maybe specifically at defense.
Yeah.
Now that you're overseeing the entire operation, how different was this for you?
Well, I mean, it's a work in progress since the day you walk in the door of where we're at, where we want to go. It's a lot of conversation between John and I and really everybody else on the building of who we have and – you know, the direction we want to take it and then what's out there. So this is kind of this ongoing evolution of the roster building and the draft process. And to answer your question, we just got started a little bit later than you normally would, you know, as a coaching staff. So, but it was awesome, man, getting used to a different process, and understanding it and having trust in the people that have been here for such a long time. It was awesome to get, to understand how it works, you know, so it's eyes open and you're just listening. It's doing a lot of listening about what guys are saying about guys and see how we can get aligned and create consensus. And I think that's where we ended up.
Such a cool day because you have no idea what's going to happen. And what happened for you guys, you probably wanted a defensive player and 14 offensive players get picked, right? I mean, that's incredible. You must have just been licking your chops right then. Was that kind of one of the stranger things that you've seen happen in a draft, John?
Yeah, we haven't talked since the draft. That's right.
No.
Yeah, sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry that we didn't talk since the draft. I thought we talked about this already. No, I mean, just the fact that I was writing about this the other night, and I was telling Mike that it was way hairier than you remember at the time because we had a couple guys that, you know, we had several people that we just knew weren't going to be there. We were prepared for them to be there if they came. But... yeah, I mean, we really, you know, we're, you know, for one reason or another, I personally think it's like divine that you're focused on one individual, and he felt like the guy all the time. You know, a couple offensive players just didn't make it there, and you know, we weren't in a position to go get somebody either. But I would say that if we would have had that ammunition to do that, that was somebody that everybody had the consensus. You know, we had a couple guys that we would, you know, he was probably the primary, he was obviously the primary guy on defense to go get. Mm-hmm. But we forgot, like, you know, there was a period in there that felt like, you know, maybe it was, I don't know, it was probably like an hour and a half to, yeah, it was probably an hour and a half but it felt like it just went by so fast. It was like, okay, it happened, and then all of a sudden we started getting texts that, you know, Indy was picking UCLA, so.
And then Byron Murphy falls to you guys at 16. Mm-hmm. Just, again, just talking about your new role, before your focus was defense. You're worried about your players and your scheme and the whole thing, and now you're evaluating offensive players. Are you leaning, I mean, not that you don't know football and offensive players, but are you deferring to your coaches more? How does the evaluation of offensive players happen for you now, considering your sole focus prior to this was on defense?
There's definitely a curve, you know, evaluating offensive guys. You just haven't done it, so... Yeah, you're absolutely leaning on offensive line, you know, Huff and Grubb and all those guys, Nuge, and then all of our scouts, I think, you know. And you're listening to how they're describing them and things that are important to you, like principle-wise. Of course, we're going to have an idea there. And then you kind of feel how you're aligned, and then, okay, that guy, you know, okay, I kind of saw the same thing. That makes sense. And it's just, and then, you know, that curve will shorten, you know, over the years and stuff. And that's a process I look forward to, you know, trying to build the best team we possibly can. All three phases, and you know, next year I'll get started on a lot earlier and be able to be in the process from the get-go, which I'm looking forward to.
So, Mike, you know, you're kind of a linebacker aficionado, right? That's kind of your position. That is, what's it mean to your defense to have? So you got Big Cat that you signed, and you got that guy's hard to move. I mean, he's hard to double team, and then you got another guy who. Same thing, Byron Murphy. I mean, how important is that to your linebackers and just your defense in general to have those two pieces?
Yeah, well, I think it's more than two pieces. I mean, I'm really excited about our front, you know, especially our D-line. I mean, guys like Jay Reed, just a stalwart in there, being a leader for the team. You know, third down pass rush, Leo. Hank was a great acquisition, you know, man, the A-gap for us. And Draymond, I feel like he's going to have a great year. I think we have a cool role for him. And then you add a guy like Murph to the whole equation. I mean, it's going to be fun to see how that works out, you know, rep-wise and how we can move them. But one thing that's really neat about who we have and how we're structured is there's, like, position flexibility, where that might not have been the case in rosters that I've, you know, worked with in the past. So it's going to be a fun process, man, of seeing, who works well with who and how we call the games and maybe some different personnel groups that you haven't seen from us in the past. And so – you know, it's time to experiment and see who's good at what and see how it clicks. So it's going to be really fun.
Well, one of the things we've talked about is it's been the same two guys, John and Pete, for 14 years. You kind of know what to expect. You know what the philosophies are. And now everything's new. We don't, you know, we could look at Baltimore and go, well, that's what they did on defense.
Sure.
But how much of that applies to what's going on here? Was that based on the personnel you had there, or was that based on this is my scheme and I plug in players that fit my scheme? Is that fair to say out here, this is the scheme I bring here, or I'm going to adjust the scheme based on the personnel I have?
Yeah, I think you guys would be surprised about how much, like, alignment from the get-go of how we see the game. And not just John, but, like, everybody up here, and then all of our coaches. And a lot of it has the way that we've played here in Seattle for years, you know, especially when we were, you know, cooking, going to Super Bowls and stuff. So, that's a lot of carryover, you know, what we're going to value. And so that was a pretty seamless transition. And then I think just philosophically speaking, I think good coaches will take great players and figure out how to use them. You know, those things you're going to stress about, some size criteria and things like that, but play demeanor and style and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that was less of a transition than one might think.
I don't remember a draft where he heard more about how guys talking about, I'm a dog. And I love what Carl Scott said, because he was like, hey, I got to see it. I don't need to hear it, or something on the call. Like, it was kind of a hard-ass response by Kay Scott, which I loved.
Oh, yeah. He's a hard-ass.
So. Yeah. No, I love Carl, man. Yeah, he's awesome. One of my favorites. But it just seemed like more often than in past drafts, I guess, question for both of you, but it just seemed like you're looking for the grinders and the guys that just love, eat, breathe, sleep football. And it seemed like a lot of those guys sort of came out in your draft.
We're always looking for that. I mean, it's just sometimes it happens, you know, where you're picking a little bit more talent than maybe that dog you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're always looking for that, you know, and it's kind of a term right now, too, you know. Because a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. you know.
You got to earn that.
You would know that if you really hip, Dave. Like,
like John is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys pay any attention to post-draft commentary? Everybody loves to give out the grades. But this team won, this team lost. This team hit it out of the park. Do you guys pay any attention to the reviews of your draft at all?
I mean, like, you'd be lying to say you ignore everything.
Yeah.
But
right.
What I told our guys was, like, we're it's under our control of what happens, you know, to the development of our guys. Like, we kind of write the story with that.
Right.
With how we build our team and how we train our guys. So.
So you're saying you don't care what Mel Kiper thinks.
It's kind of a mute point. But yeah, of course you're going to see stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah, they spend so much time on it now. They used to be like, okay, well, how does, you know, Zimmerman have the first round?
Yeah.
Like a week and a half before the draft in Sports Illustrated. You know. Now it's like you can have 15 mock drafts, right up to the mock draft, and or right up to the draft. You know, and then they can do it all the way through the draft, and then so. Now you have the gambling aspect, too, so people are saying, you know, like people are betting on where a player's going to go and stuff, too, so there's, I don't know if the experts are gambling on it or not, but you know what I mean? But they're like, you know, they're like, hey, well, this guy should have gone here, this guy should have gone there, he's supposed to go here, he's about to go, it doesn't matter, as long as it's your player, your person, your competitor for your team, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of those guys,
like it when they're like, they give like, you, that was a bad pick. You're like, that's awesome.
Well, and that's kind of
awesome.
That's kind of why I asked, because across the board, you guys got great grades, but anybody that had a criticism, it was about the two guys in the fourth round, to be honest.
Sure.
Those were the two guys people go, they could have gotten those guys later. They felt like that was their reach. That seemed to be the commonality between all the post-draft
grades. He always grades us down because he gave us an F for when we drafted. The 2012 draft is when we took Russell Wilson and Bobby and
was that a good draft?
And all those guys.
That didn't work out at all.
They got a D.
Bruce Irvin, he gave us an F. He's like, what are they doing? You know, and so like, so now like, I think for him like maybe a B is like really an A.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be a sliding scale, if you will.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, tell us about those guys, Tyrese Knight. You know, what you guys saw on him, guy from UTEP, looked like he had good instincts as far as, like, reading. I'll be a scout. His eyes were really good.
No, this is good. It's not like you're sitting in the room with him.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that's kind of what
he
it looked like.
He loves this stuff. He's so into it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, honestly, like, it sounds like you're in the room with us. Those are the things that we saw.
Hmm.
And, I mean, again, like I said, it's like you have to be able to play linebacker. In order to do that, you have to make tackles. So guys that don't make plays and get guys on the ground, like, what are we doing? They're just staring, you know, standing around staring at each other. Like, we need guys to go be active and go make plays and make tackles and see things. And it felt like the game was a little bit slow for them, which is what you want.
Yeah.
And, again, like, nobody's doing all the things in college. They're all doing, you know, it's all specific to the schemes. And it's hard to grade somebody harshly based off of what they've been asked to do. And then you see them translate it to Senior Bowl and now it's, I mean, everybody's a projection to a certain degree, right? So, you know, we're confident that he's going to pick it up fast and compete to play.
We've talked about this before, John, some of the sites that track salary cap, whether it's Over the Cap or SpoTrack or any of those. Mm-hmm. I don't know how accurate they are or aren't, but they have the Seahawks fairly close right now. Are you guys in a situation where you...
We are fairly close, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to sign all your draft picks and everything. So,
we budgeted for that, but yeah, we're pretty tight.
Like, are moves going to have to be made or readjustments?
There's some of the automatic stuff, you know, like that can happen where you can create cap space, you know, like we did with Diggsy and Jamal and that sort of stuff last year. We may have a couple of those we utilize to create some more room, but we're budgeted to be able to keep trying to, you know, work our team through the trade deadline, depending on, you know, what other guys, you know, salary cap numbers are. We're not like done. We're not done. We try to budget all the way through.
How about some of the free agents that you guys signed? I mean, we've had some good ones around here. Jermaine Kearse, Doug Baldwin. I'm trying to think who else. There's been a few guys that you signed. Was Puna?
Yeah,
is he a free agent?
Puna was,
Yeah, so that was a lot of work. I mean, you got, 15 guys? And a lot of work this weekend, right, for the rookie to be able to get enough guys in here and to run drills and stuff like that. But anybody stand out to you that as far as a free agent that you signed that you're excited about?
Just excited about the whole group this weekend. Mike was open to having like they did in Baltimore, having a whole group of people, like a bunch of trial people too, to, you know, compare to the people that were signed as rookie free agents. And there's a number of guys that we signed, you know, right away that, you know, so for some guys, the path to the roster is more clear. And then, you know, there's some guys that just make it more clear for you based on their performance. It's like basically what Bobo did last year. I don't know how you feel about
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We take a lot of pride in the UDFA process. I mean, those are our guys. You know, our challenge is to develop them and coach them just like we would the, you know, first few guys on the roster. So that's our mentality. You know, we had a meeting this week to say, hey, we're coaching everybody all the time, you know, so that's our philosophy. And, you know, players are allowed to get better. And sometimes, like, it doesn't matter where you find them. I've had a lot of experiences where tryout guys have made the roster and made an impact. And it doesn't matter where you start, man. It's just about coming in and being productive and being your best self. And we'll coach you up. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity out there.
What do they go through? What do the rookies go through in this camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it? A lot of drills? Is it intensive? Or is it more about learning? Here's our terminology or our philosophy?
Yeah, it's an intro to the philosophy and who we are culture-wise. A good opportunity for them to be by themselves, like without the vets, you know, to kind of hear it for the first time. Scheme-wise, we'll keep it pretty simple just to let them go out there and try to go play. But we're going to have, you know, proper practices and go out there and get some good work in, be, you know, do it the right way and stay off the ground and stuff. But that's a little bit of a learning curve, like learning how to practice like a pro and things like that. But it's a great opportunity for them to do that before, you know, the vets are here and we're doing it for real in OTA. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Mike, we talked to one of your, I can't remember if it was a coach or somebody, that your first job as a coach was coaching freshmen. Football.
Yeah, and you Xavier were, Smith, I know. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you were 9-0 and had 7 shutouts. I mean,
so that's the
wow,
expectation
that was
here now.
That was that number one.
They're not allowed to score.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
But no, awesome. I was like, is that when it like clicked for you, or, you know, were you like, okay, I'm meant to be a coach?
Oh, man, that was an awesome experience. You fell in love with coaching during that time, you know, just like I was saying, to see someone go from point A to point B from one day to another, like that was like, okay, this is awesome. Yeah. You know, like this is really cool. And see people, you know, develop as people, you know, in high school, such a formative time, especially in that area. And to feel like your investment, you know, you've got some return on it just in your relationships. And that's when it hit me. You know, I mean, the shutouts were cool, you know, that was awesome. But I mean, we were playing like wing tee defense. You know, I couldn't tell you where cover three was. We were just, you know, tight go. And, you know, that was a couple of our calls there. So head slant field was a big one.
I agree with you. Shutouts are awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody's on board with that. Hey, have you gotten, I know it's been a short amount of time, but have you gotten used to how much more weight your words carry and everything is now the head coach? You're doing the press conferences. Anything you say is going to be picked apart. And
yeah.
Coach McDonald said this. What did he mean by that? Or, I mean, just anything you say. The thing we talked, the picture gate, as John called it. That became such a huge thing. And I'm sure you were probably sitting there going, wait, what?
Yeah.
What? And everybody's talking about it, writing about it. Is that
new,
that feeling of being?
Yeah, of course it's new. It's of course. And when you're getting ready for the process, you're getting, you know, there's a lot of advice that you're asking folks. And some of the most sage advice that I got was, hey, every interaction you're going to have throughout the building is probably going to be the most meaningful interaction for like that person. You know, like they'll, you know, if it's an intern or whatever, they're going to say, they're going to go back to their wife or whatever and say, hey, like, how, oh, I hung out with the head coach for a while today. Like,
yeah.
You know,
that's a big,
you know, so you want to be intentional with your words and make sure that, you know, you're being uplifting and empowering and, you know, and reinforcing the values that you know that you're saying. So you're backing on, you know, you're walking the walk and talking the talk at the same time. So absolutely, it's a learning experience. And just like everybody else in our staff, I mean, the, you know, every day goes by, you're learning a little bit more, and I think you can feel that throughout our staff too, which is exciting. Yeah, you can see the growth.
So this is a special draft for you, John. Just, you know, first time, it's pretty much, you know, you got final word. And did it feel differently for you, or was it just the same process that you do every single time?
It was really the same process all the way through. It really was. Mike just came in later.
Yeah.
You know, he just came in later to the process. It wasn't, I know I've been asked that a ton, and it doesn't. It didn't feel like. I don't know. It didn't feel like I was like, this is who we're taking. You'll be damned if you didn't know this guy. You know what I mean?
Then, all of a sudden, you're a dictator.
You know, yeah, like no, we've never. You know, Elson and I have many leather-bound books in my office, but we haven't.
You know,
and I've told you guys a million times, like it was never. Like that. That's not how you win in this league. Like you have to be like together and doing. I mean, there's a lot of teams now that are hiring like a head coach, a general manager, and like a president of football operations or whatever. Like there's a, you know, there's no one person can do this job.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, when 2010 Pete recognized that, he just wanted to have input into who his partner was going to be.
Yeah. It looks like Mike has the same sense of humor as you, so that's good. You guys get along.
Guy too,
he laughs at your jokes.
Are you getting all the movie references? Do you know where?
I don't get his.
Yeah. No, Nolan is really the guy in the office that he is my most formidable movie quote opponent.
Okay.
From like 1995 to like 2001.
So pre 95, you're going to look at him with a blank look and go.
I'm saying him. So oh. John's looking at me like that. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Like what? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. And then the two of them will be laughing.
John's
and then
feeling
Trent
left
will be
out.
Like, Trent, did you get that? No.
Yeah, yeah. Nolan's got some good ones. They'll come out there. It's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So overall with the draft, did it go kind of how you thought it would? I mean, every year you probably have a sense of, well, we think this team will go this direction. This one will go this direction. You get calls and things like that for making moves. Did it, in the end, when you look back on it, do you feel like that was about the way it went or no? I thought
very much so, honestly. We knew we had groupings throughout the board, and we knew where we wanted it. Like we had touch points, and we got to them. And you know, we had a couple of times where we were going to move around, we didn't. We were going to move up, we didn't. You know, 16, we stayed, waited. It didn't feel like a draft to be, like trying to be like. You know, the smartest guy in the room and trying to be moving all over the place.
Right.
You know, it felt like a draft, like, hey, we have buy-in with a new staff on these areas. Let's hit these areas and then grow from here.
Yeah, so it's interesting, you know, putting together that whole staff and everything, and everybody's pretty much new here and fresh look and everything. And so what's been like the biggest difference for you, Mike, as far as, you know, the difference between being in Baltimore and being here in Seattle? Is there anything like culturally or as far as like the facility or anything that really stands out to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're just you're on the opposite coast. You're in a totally new environment. I mean, it's there's a lot that's different. And I think just philosophically speaking, you don't want to come in like guns blazing, acting like you got all the answers. I mean, we've done a lot of really sweet things here for a long time. So how do you merge like the visions of people? And that takes a lot of listening and figuring it out. And you're not just going to like cut it once and be like, all right, here we go. This is what we're doing. You know, so it's. And there's so many different aspects of our organization and, like, arms of it and tentacles and everywhere. So I think we're still working through that. You know, I think we've made a lot of progress. But, yeah, it's going to be, you know, hopefully we're working on it for years and years and years, and you just keep evolving over and over and over. So that's been the philosophy.
This is it. This is the swan song. This is
so sad.
You're welcome to come back every week if you want, John. I mean,
I'm off the hook to like.
I told Johnny to bring the baton and just like bring me a pass it over.
I think I'm literally off the hook to training camp, Dave.
The door is always open. Yeah. Anytime you feel like you got to unburden yourself,
I think it's going to be a car ride call, just like.
Whatever.
Yeah, you were at the baseball game. I remember that.
Yeah.
And you're completely wrong what you guys are talking about.
Whatever.
And I got to
straighten them out.
It's like you were talking about these roster moves these people are making when they're not picking up options. That's not a roster move.
That's a different show.
You're talking about another show.
We're not.
No, he started off the show saying.
Oh, that was an update.
These are roster moves that are not roster moves.
Okay.
We don't make mistakes on this show, mister.
Oh, I'm going to miss you guys.
Oh,
Tiger playing the U.S. Open is pretty sweet. I didn't know that.
Yeah, got an exemption. That's news, right? Does that count? Or is that not a thing? Okay.
It wasn't the U.S. Open didn't make a move.
They didn't make it. That wasn't a roster move.
Yeah.
No. But hey, seriously, anytime you guys want to come on. The door's open. Great to meet you, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
Very cool to talk to you. John, it's been fun.
All right. It's been fun again. I appreciate you guys.
Very cool. That's John Schneider. That's Mike McDonald, the head coach and the GM, president of football operations. We'll come back, talk about what we just heard as we continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob on Seattle Sports.
Our thanks to John Schneider and Mike McDonald, who joined us in the previous segment, in case you guys are just tuning into the program. Fun conversation with both those guys, and hopefully John will hit us up at some point, you know, just listening in the car, call us up on the phone. Gonna miss him.
Yeah.
Gonna miss talking to John every week.
Always entertaining.
Yeah, he's just, one of the most common things I read from texters and even on Twitter after these conversations is they get a sense of his personality that they didn't really get before we started doing this. And it, you know, he's such a good dude. And I think, you know, people finally get a chance to maybe experience that, because Pete was kind of the main talker, if you will, and talking about what's going on with the team. And now John gets a chance to show his personality. And the first time we had a chance to meet Mike McDonald, you and I in person anyway, and talk to him, he's a little more pulled back, but super nice guy. And I'm excited to see what it looks like out there, you know, just to, you know, how he brings this whole team together and his philosophies, and is it going to look distinctly different than what we've seen or similar? And I did like how he kept referring to like things that happened years ago as well.
Yeah, I totally noticed that as well. Like, we have a great franchise here. We've done amazing things here. And I think that's
similar to what we were doing years ago. I was like, wait, is he talking about Baltimore?
I thought that was a really smart the way he put that. So, and I think it the way he sort of handled the Picturegate thing, and he didn't really address it, but was just kind of laughing about it a little, like, it was light, and I don't think he pays attention much to that kind of stuff, it sounds like. So maybe in a while, maybe after being a head coach for a few years, it'll start to resonate a little bit more with him. But
well, just think about what his role was. How often was he speaking with the media in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Right? It's Coach Harbaugh out there. He's the face. He's the voice. He's responsible for, I mean, I'm sure he did, much like the, you know, Clint Hurd or Chris Richard or any Ken Norton did here at times, but you hear from him a ton. So this is probably new for him. Every word he puts out there gets parsed. It gets processed a different way. Somebody takes a different meaning from a statement that he made. You know, I see it one way, you hear something different. I mean, that's just, everybody's really dialed into what he's saying in a way that he's probably not experienced before. So that's got to be kind of jarring at times if you know, somebody feels like you said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing.
Yeah, you know what? I think what came through from both of those guys is that humility. And I think if you really know the game, it humbles you, because there's so many different things. I mean, you can't be cocky, even if you're a play caller, you know that a bunch of guys have to go out and execute that. You're basically at their mercy of them executing. And so that just brings about the notion that it just takes a whole bunch of different people to have success and in different ways. And so I feel like when you talk to Mike and John's the same way, it was like, you know, and I asked him about, did it feel any different, you know, this year than last year? It's like, he kind of wanted to stay away from that. Like, I'm still the same guy, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm still a humble person. And, you know, I know that it takes the head coach and it takes a bunch of players and the trainers and the whole thing. And I think Mike sounds like that same kind of guy, that they both understand how much it takes. Yeah, I'm the head coach. Yeah, I'm the GM. But, you know, our right guard needs to get it done. You know, and there's 22 guys and special teams and just all that goes into it. Any one person trying to take credit for it or anything is just kind of deplorable, right? You don't even think that way. And I can tell from talking, you know, the way both of those guys answer questions is that they have that. They have that humility.
Well, a little bit from what we heard, Mike McDonald here, just talking about the difference of being in the draft room as a head coach, now kind of in charge of things, as compared to being a coordinator in the draft room.
Well, I mean, it's a work in progress since the day you walk in the door of where we're at, where we want to go. It's a lot of conversation between John and I and really everybody else on the building of who we have and, you know, the direction we want to take it and then what's out there. So it's this ongoing evolution of the roster building and the draft process. And to answer your question, we just got started a little bit later than you normally would, you know, as a coaching staff. So, but it was awesome, man. Getting used to a different process, and understanding it and having trust in the people that have been here for such a long time. It was awesome to get to understand how it works, you know? So it's eyes open and you're just listening. It's doing a lot of listening about what guys are saying about guys and see how we can get aligned and create consensus. And I think that's where we ended up.
Yeah, it had to be unique in that he had a very singular focus in Baltimore. I'm looking at defense. I'm looking at we need a linebacker. We need an edge rusher or a safety, whatever they needed. And I'm sure they sought his input on, hey, here's who the scouts came up with for guys at that position. And that was his focus. Somebody else was worrying about the offense. Now he's got to worry about everything. So it's kind of interesting just that dynamic change for him to get in there and be, all right, I got to have an opinion on these offensive players now and this running back or that wide receiver or this guard or, you know, where he was so singular before.
Yeah, well, and I guarantee you that really came into play when they were selecting his coaches, right?
Yeah.
Who can I trust? Who are guys that I really know and can, you know, have similar thoughts about football? And I think I hate to keep pounding this in, but I think – the whole thing about humility. I mean, there's lots of times where I feel like the smartest people are like, I know when to admit that I don't know something rather than trying to make something up. And, you know, I love that when people are willing to, you know, tell you what their weaknesses are because, you know, that's a humble person, somebody that's, but yeah, some of the guys that give the canned answer for everything and I know this and I know that probably don't want to work with that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to be a conducive working environment. One more quickly before we get to the break. Coach McDonald talking about the defensive front that he inherited here with the Seahawks.
Well, I think it's more than two pieces. I mean, I'm really excited about our front, you know, especially our D-line. I mean, guys like Jay Reed, just a stalwart in there, being a leader for the team. You know, third down pass rush, Leo. Hank was a great acquisition, you know, to man the A-gap for us. And Draymond, I feel like he's going to have a great year. I think we have a cool role for him. And then you add a guy like Murph to the whole equation. I mean, it's going to be fun to see how that works out, you know, rep-wise and how we can move him. But one thing that's really neat about who we have and how we're structured is there's, like, position flexibility, where that might not have been the case in rosters that I've, you know, worked with in the past, so...
The one thing he said just reminded Pete. He goes, "We got a cool role for him. he's got a really cool thing coming for him. And that'll be cool to see. You know, I'm defensively. I mean, yeah, offense, the whole thing. You want to see it, but I'm really, really excited to see what kind of change he can make to the defense because that's what needed the most changing.
Yeah,
is the defense. So,
and I don't expect that it's going to be this magic potion that they just dump out on the field.
Yes,
but
it is. It's a magic spell.
But, yeah, Jonathan Hankins, by the way, that's the guy he was talking about when he said Hank, defensive tackle, 12 years in the league, guy at Ohio State. So he's a, as he said, cool part of this defensive line.
Yeah. So again, if you guys missed any of that conversation with John Schneider and Mike McDonald, it will be on the podcast page at seattlesports.com after the show. Just click the podcast tab, click on our picture. It'll be right there waiting for you and click subscribe. That's the best thing to do. Coming up, should the Seahawks open up the quarterback competition? Two home runs predicted in the same game. All of that coming up in Sweeping the Dial with Wyman and Bob, live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
Seattle Sports, your home for Bump and Stacy.
Questioning whether there should be an open quarterback competition in Seattle.
Weekdays 10 to 2.
I think Geno has done enough to have the confidence of Schneider and maybe even Mike McDonald and Ryan Grubb if they go ahead and look at the film. Here's the interesting part about this whole situation is that that's all they have is what they see on film. The Seahawks aren't in a position where they can just ignore performances. So in reality, this could really be a quarterback competition, but I don't think they're going to come out and say that.
Read up on the latest news and opinions at Seattle Sports.
com. Hey, it's Bob Stelton here for Johnson Fitness and Wellness, the home of fitness and the largest specialty fitness retailer in the country. No matter what it is you're looking for, they have got everything you need. Whether you're looking for something as simple as a yoga mat and resistance bands, all the way up to ellipticals, treadmills, free weights, benches, rowers, exercise bikes, even a great selection of massage chairs. They've got it, and more importantly, they know their products inside and out. I just recently got a brand new elliptical, Matrix elliptical, which I love, but in shopping for that, I was comparing it to the other ones in there, wanted to know the difference between the models and why one costs more than the other, what are the different features, and they knew all of that off the top of their head. They know their products, again, inside and out. And Johnson Fitness and Wellness offers white glove delivery and installation, so you will immediately be up and running with your new equipment in whichever room you choose, no matter what your budget is, no matter what your fitness goals are, they have got the equipment for you. And right now, exclusively in store, if you mention Seattle Sports, you'll get a free kit of performance percussion massager with the purchase of any massage chair or Matrix fitness equipment. That's over $100 value just for mentioning Seattle Sports. And in addition to that, Mother's Day is right around the corner. They now have the Run Like a Mother treadmill deal, they're calling it. Use the code MX700. MX700, you'll save up to $2,100 on top-rated treadmill Matrix T75, and you can also give the gift of wellness for that special mother in your life. They have the mother of all massage chairs deals. Save $1,000 on popular Inner Balance Gen 2 massage chair. Johnson Fitness and Wellness stores are in Bellevue, Linwood, and Tacoma, or you can check them out online at johnsonfitness.com.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
Well, Evan Stockton, who's the announcer for the AAA affiliate of the New York Mets, predicted not one, but two home runs in the same game on this past Sunday for the Syracuse Mets.
Feels like Carlos Cortez is due for a big blow. Got your shot.
Here comes the pitch. Breaking ball hit in the air. Deep right field. Rodriguez turns. Goodbye. Home run. Grand slam Carlos Cortez. And the Mets have rocketed in front 4-3.
Luis Angel Acuña has not homered since his second at-bat of the season. You feel like Acuña is about to run into one. 1-2. Swing and a high fly ball. Hit well to center field. Schneeman going back and looking up. Acuña did just run into one. The Mets have got the lead.
Not bad. Not bad. I mean, it's not Blauer's level prediction, but not bad.
Yeah, it's in the same game. Nobody can check this, though, right? I mean, this was a AAA announcer on the radio.
AAA affiliate of the Mets.
Yeah, the Mets, I mean. I feel like if you put out enough predictions, they'll start to come true.
Or repeat the same one each year. It'll eventually come true.
Yes. You always point to, like, the chair, like someone who was once occupying a chair.
Talking here. About somebody getting too old to play at some point, which is inevitable. It's like me predicting Julio's going to hit a home run. It's going to be in this series. Well, I feel it's going to happen in this series.
Yeah.
I just moved to the third series. It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm sure it was a tremendous call by him, by Evan Stockton. But, yeah, I mean, the Blowers thing is just unique because it was so ridiculously specific.
The count, the at-bat, where it was going to land. That was ridiculous.
And he said Matt Tuiasosopo.
Whole
thing.
Sweeping the dial.
Executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, is hoping the Seahawks open up the QB competition and let Sam Howell try to win the job.
Yeah, it's a cool thing to stash them away, and I really hope they open it up. I hope it's an open competition, similar to like when they had Russell and Matt Flynn. I think Sam's the starting quarterback in the league. I'd just love to see him with a better supporting cast.
Wow, that'll be really interesting. We didn't think much of this other than I think our eyebrows raised because it was so much capital.
Yeah, they gave a third and a fifth for him, got back a fourth and a sixth.
And it just didn't seem to make sense. And I wonder if we go back and look at, like, wow, think about that move. And that's something that John saw coming from a long ways away. I don't know. I mean, it's very interesting. And the more we talk about it, the more curious I get.
Should it be a competition?
I mean, it's always a competition. If he goes out there and is just lighting it up in practice and gets everything, and
but in I don't know this, so I'm asking, in a true competition, let's say we don't know who our quarterback is, are they getting 50-50 reps? Like, would that would tell me, okay, it is a legit competition versus Geno's getting all the reps and he's getting the whatever the backup normally gets.
Well, I think you can afford to do that early on, definitely. But like, the closer you get to the season, right, the more reps you're going to like push towards your starter. So, which, you know, makes it, I don't want to say unlikely, less likely anyway, for Sam to win that job, because you just got a small window in there. Like, if you really want reps, you're going to have to light it up in all the camps where they're going to give equal reps. And then in the early part of camp, you're going to have to really show them that you're worthy of those reps. The reps are precious. Like, yeah, you only get so many. You can, and look, you can do as many as you want in the pros, but you're going to wear out your players. You have only so many plays that you're going to keep your guys' legs fresh. So for him, there's going to be a lot of pressure, I would say, these camps coming up and the first part of mini camp or the regular season camp.
Sweeping the dial.
Even though the Mariners were not able to complete the sweep against the Braves, there was still one positive for manager Scott Servais, and that was that the bullpen was still able to shut down a hard-hitting Braves lineup.
Yeah, no, the bullpen, again, today, even in that game, you know, they can get away from you a little bit because they do have power in their lineup. The guys came in, they threw great. Those guys are really focusing on throwing their best pitch most often, and you can throw it, you still got to execute it, and they're all doing it.
Yeah, I would say there were more than a few positives. You won the series against a very good, you know, by record, best team in baseball. Your fifth in a row. And he's right, the bullpen's been outstanding. The rotation has been outstanding for the most part. I know Emerson was not that sharp in this most recent one, but nor was the defense. And they still found a way to win, which to me is impressive. When things are failing in other areas of the game and you still find a way to win, it's a good team, man. I'm just waiting for this offense to find their consistency.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing, well, look, as far as the way the pitching is going right now, you're going to see somewhat of a step back. I mean, they're not going to continue to go up. What do they say? Trees don't grow to the sky, you know, but, you know, as long as their offense is picking up for them, mm-hmm, you know, if you saw that and you're like, hey, we know the pitching is going to come back. Nobody's injured. You know, they're just had a couple of rough outings, and then the offense explodes. Now you feel like, okay, I've seen both do it. Now you hope at some point down the season, as far as the season goes, you're gonna hope to see both of those things come true. And that would be the perfect scenario there. But we've seen flashes of offense. We know the pitching is really good, so if they can stay away from injuries, they're going to have that part of it down. I'm still very skeptical about the offense.
All right, coming up, we'll talk to this guy about the offense and everything going on with the Mariners. John Morosi will join us for his weekly conversation. That's coming up next. We continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.